Live from New York City, it's the Gary Noel Show. And now, your host, Gary Noel.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Noel, broadcasting live from my studio in New York City. This program is devoted to dealing with the issues that are important to you. I'm not streaming live over the video because we have a little technical glitch, but you're certainly able to listen to the program, and most importantly, no guest, no investigative report, your opportunity to call in and share your questions, your thoughts, comments, insights, information. Give us a call now at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. While you're getting ready to gear up, call in, let me share some of the latest on health and healing. And I always go to the original scientific literature so I can see what good science is showing us about positive lifestyle changes. From the School of Nutritional Studies, Tufts University, eating mostly whole grains, the type we talk about on this program, and very few refined grains, is linked to a lower body fat. Quite simply, if you eat more servings of, let's say, brown rice and quinoa and spelt and amaranth and beans, that you're going to have less fat tissue. That's according to this study. And that's important. Now, this past week, we completed a one-year health support group. There were about 55 people who finished it. There were about 120 who started. At the end of a year, we had remarkable results. I filmed the final comments they made, and they will be both brought up on audio, so on upcoming shows you can hear some of their comments as well as video. We've probably filmed more than 3,000 people who've completed these health support groups, and let me give you a few examples of what happens when people make really substantial lifestyle modifications. Three people overcame irritable bowel syndrome and colitis. Three people had major improvements in multiple sclerosis to where they're virtually normal today. One person made an incredible improvement in arthritis, no longer has arthritis, migraines gone, and another person, white hair became a natural black hair, energy abounding in all these individuals. Those are some of the results. And people think this is rather remarkable. It isn't. This is just normal. What's amazing is how often people assume that you can't get better because it's too complicated. It's not complicated to be healthy. It's just like checking what you're eating. If you're eating white rice, most Americans eat white rice and white bread, white flour products, white pasta. Give those up, go whole grain, and you'll lose that body fat. Now, the most important, just really substantial changes were in the percentage of body fat. I found that at least half the people lost almost half of their body fat. They went from 40% to 20%, 20 to 10%, 18 to 9% across the board. It was just terrific to see this because the lower your body fat, you also have lower likelihood of breast cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, less high cholesterol, less elevated blood pressure, less pro-inflammatory conditions when you reduce your body fat. Because the fat also stores toxins, heavy metals, pesticides. So quite simply, you're going to be more toxic if you have more body fat. So by increasing fiber, increasing grains, you reduce body fat. Also, about 3 months ago, I mentioned that we should be using more black rice in the United States. This is from the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry. And from the American Chemical Society, it says, quote, evidence that black rice, a little-known variety of the grain that is the staple food for one-third of the world's population, may help soothe the inflammation involved in allergies, asthma, and other diseases. Mendel Friedman and colleagues pointed out that their previous research showed several potential health benefits of eating black rice, and now they've added in the bran of the black rice. Well, of course, you would get the bran if you eat the whole grain black rice. And bran is the outer husk of the grain, which is removed during the processing of brown rice to produce the familiar white rice. And in the new study, they found that black rice and the bran of that black rice had a substantial anti-inflammatory effect. So, one more reason to eat your black rice. Turns off inflammation in the body. Also, we are now looking at something that really goes back probably 60 years, and that is enzymes helping people with cancer. This is from Paul Fassa, Natural News, and it says, most nutritionally aware health practitioners agree that the order of importance of human health is oxygen, water, enzymes, minerals, and vitamins. Ironically, there's much to do about minerals and vitamins, but almost no attention goes to enzymes. Enzymes are the proteins that help us digest our food and act as catalysts for every single biochemical, metabolic, cellular activity in our bodies. Without enzymes, minerals and vitamins won't work. Enzyme deficiency can lead to cancer, and cancer has been cured with enzyme therapy. Now, digestive enzymes are needed to break down foods and assimilate their nutrients. Eating raw plant foods preserves the nutrients and enzymes lost with cooking. Slow-speed juicing enables nutrients and enzymes to be both preserved and concentrated. Chewing food very well enables your saliva to produce more digestive enzymes. And needless to say, by eating slowly and digesting your food properly, taking juices made from the raw vegetables and fruits, you're flooding the body with enzymes. But you also have what are called proteolytic enzymes. Proteolytic enzymes are produced by the pancreas, which serves up digestive enzymes to the small intestine. If too much processed and cooked foods are hastily eaten, the demand for digestive enzymes overburdens the pancreas, initiating an unhealthy chain reaction that allows toxins to gather in the body. Plant foods usually contribute amino acids that the body synthesizes into complete proteins. However, proteins from meat are already complete and very difficult to digest with most digestive enzymes. They require proteolytic enzymes. Cooking meats destroys any existing enzymes, or a lot of them, thus demanding more production from the pancreas. And that creates some problems. Now you get to the enzymes and cancers. Proteolytic enzymes are able to break down, in many cases, the walls of cancer cells and allow the immune system to handle them easily. Heavy meat eating may demand too many proteolytic enzymes to break down these complete proteins, which are needed to check the cancer cells normally floating around our bodies. So by supplementing your diet with proteolytic enzymes after a meal, you can help if you have cancer. And Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, who I've had on this program, has his patients, with some substantial success, take enormous amounts of proteolytic enzymes. And I know a lot of other doctors suggesting a lot of proteolytic enzymes, all based upon the original work of a Texas dentist named William Donald Kelly. So my suggestion is get as much enzyme into the diet as possible. First, juicing. That's your number one way. Second, eating as much raw food as possible. And then thoroughly chewing the food you have, and then supplementing with some digestive enzymes. Another sugar on the way. This one's a good one. You can eat this. It has a very low glycemic index, which means diabetics can eat it. It is coconut sugar. That's right, you haven't heard this before, but coconut sugar emerges as an environmental and nutritional champion of low glycemic sweeteners. Now, that's very promising news for those concerned with their health, diabetes, obesity, heart disease, cancer, and gallstones. Coconut nectar is produced by slicing the bud off the flowering part of the coconut and collecting the sap, or the nectar it contains. And coconut sugar crystals are created when that sap is dried at low temperature and what's called vacuum evaporation. Amazingly, coconut palm trees can produce fruit and nectars for about 70 years per tree. This is what one of the people said who is the director of the Coconut Research Center. Quote, a farmer can plant a coconut tree as a child and have it produce that person's entire life. Coconuts are always in season as they produce year-round. Artificial fertilizers and pesticides are rarely ever needed. Small farmers who are the main producers can't afford pesticides and chemicals and prefer to let nature take its course. Rotting coconut husks and fronds are used as a natural fertilizer. For these reasons, coconut nectar and fruit production are very environmentally friendly. Unquote. Coconut sugar also has a very low glycemic index of 35. Now, low glycemic foods are important to overall health since they do not create rapid spikes in your blood glucose levels. Increased blood glucose triggers beta cells of the pancreas to increase insulin. And when insulin production becomes excessive, this can set the stage for diabetes mellitus or hypoglycemia or insulin resistance. When a food is high in its glycemic index, then your body will create excess insulin. And then blood glucose levels drop lower over the next few hours than if a lower glycemic food had been consumed. This explains why eating high glycemic food contributes to weight gain and obesity, since hunger returns soon after you eat and then you eat more. So that's the latest natural sugar. And again, you are hearing it first here. It's from coconuts. And there's plenty of those. Now, I had mentioned before that I believe that when people are investing in countries in Southeast Asia, including China, because they have a booming economy, they should look ahead and ask, do they have the capacity to sustain those boons? And the answer is, no, they do not. Because all of these modern high-rises and enormous urban villages with all the latest furnishings and technology, that all has to come from someplace, which means natural resources, hardwoods, and minerals. Well, we're running short on those, even when China has the capacity, power to buy gigantic tracts of land around the world. Those are still depleting the natural resources. In the next 10 years, there will be no hardwood mahogany forest left in South America. I mean, it'll just be gone. And when it's gone forever. Then you have, what about all the people who are not a part of the boom? What about the, let's say, 90% who are not? In China, for example, you have about 1.3 billion people, same as in India, give or take 100 million. You have at least 800 million very poor in both countries. Those are the people who are most adversely affected by the environment. Here's the latest on this, and this was from Science Daily. This is mainstream science now. Quote, disease in rural China linked to polluted coal. Quote, in remote rural areas of southwest China, villagers cook and dry their clothes by burning pieces of coal they pick up off the ground. This fuel releases a toxin that is poisoning millions of people, according to an ongoing investigation by chemists from the University of Buffalo. The toxins in question is fluoride, which binds to calcium in the human body and causes a disease, fluorosis. This condition, which affects millions of Chinese in the Guizhou province, can cause dental problems such as discolored and pitted teeth, as well as joint pain, muscular degeneration, deformities, and joints of the spine. Worldwide, the most common source of excess fluoride is polluted water. But according to Joseph Gardella, a chemist at the University of Buffalo, who has collaborated on a research project with Professor Ling of the Chinese University of Mining and Technology, Beijing, polluted coal is also to blame. Quote, careful research supported by the Chinese government eliminated water as the source, and polluted
and pointed to air pollution from coal-fired home fireplace. The government has focused on finding solutions to the health issues resulting from the pollution in the villages and in identifying solutions to eliminating the pollution sources. When you just look at coal, it looks pretty homogeneous. But when you do a chemical ion image, you can see it's very heterogeneous. And shows that like pure coals burned by power plants, the carbon in the coal itself contains little fluoride. However, the inorganic clay used as an additive for coal burning and as a binder in briquette making by local residents shows very high levels of fluoride. Who knew? Who knew that hundreds of millions of poor Chinese were ending up with brittle bones, muscular degeneration, joint pain, deformities in their spine and joints, pitted teeth, discolored teeth, because of the fluoride released when they burn coal that they pick up off the ground? Congress is seeking to put dietary supplement makers in jail for 10 years. Let me quote this from Life Extension. It says, pharmaceutical companies are once again interfering with your ability to access information about dietary supplements. The Senate is debating a bill that will enable the FDA to put vitamin supplement makers in jail for 10 years if they cite findings from peer-reviewed published studies on the label of their dietary supplements or on their website. The pretext for these draconian proposals is a bill entitled Senate Bill 3767. The ostensible purpose of the bill is to punish anyone who knowingly contaminates food for sale. Since there are already strong laws to punish anyone who commits this crime, this bill serves little purpose other than enriching pharmaceutical interest. The sinister scheme behind this bill is to exploit the public's concern about food safety. Drug companies want to convince your senators that an overreaching law needs to be enacted to grant the FDA powers to define food contamination any way it chooses. Even today, the FDA can proclaim a dietary supplement as misbranded, even if the best science in the world is used to describe its biological effects in the body. The concern is that the FDA will use the term misbranded in the same way it defines adulterated in order to jail dietary supplement makers as if they were selling contaminated food. The new bill being debated in the Senate increases the penalties the FDA can use to threaten supplement makers to 10 years in prison. The big issue here is that the FDA will use this as a hammer to threaten and coerce small companies into signing crippling consent decrees that will deny consumers access to truthful, non-misleading information about natural approaches to protect age-related diseases. Please tell your two senators to oppose the Food Safety Bill S-3767. You can do this in a few minutes, and just let your legislator know no to Bill 3767. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment, and now we're going to take your calls for the remainder of the show. Our number here on the Progressive Radio Network is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. Let's go right to the phones, and we're going to keep on the phones for the rest of this program. And what's really enjoyable about doing this is that we have people from all over America listening, all over the world, but only those in North America can call in. And we have right now Utah, Orlando, California, and Maryland. Let's say hello to George from Maryland. Hi, George.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, I had a question for you. I recently, unfortunately, had a windfall of money, about $250,000, and I just wanted to get your advice on what things to avoid investing in and what you think would be best to invest in, and considering I have a young family and all that.
All right. Did you watch 60 Minutes tonight?
I did not.
Okay. The first segment they had on was a very good segment. I've been filming this for over a year now. My film is called Poverty, Inc., showing how people in vulture capitalism exploit and actually cause the financial pain that we're going through. But what was really remarkable is all the people who were interviewed for the 60 Minutes piece were people who had PhDs, MBAs, and all had been college graduates. All had very good paying jobs, some at $300,000 and $200,000 a year, lived in a nice, you know, upper scale area, and today they're all broke. Most of them have either lost their homes or are in fact homeless. They were going to a local food pantry, and the local food pantry was giving 5,000 meals a year. Now it's 43,000 meals a year and getting worse. Many of the people have not worked in 2.5 years, and yet they have been looking for work nonstop. Now that raises several questions to me, and I would look at it differently than as did 60 Minutes, and I'm not criticizing 60 Minutes. I think they did a very good job for the limited time that they have to devote. Mainly it was what it means to be a person, what's their lifestyle like today versus what it was when they were working, and how they're coping. There was no mention of the underlying cause, as if the only thing that causes people to be unemployed is for a company to stop hiring. And also, it didn't give any suggestions. Today, I had an open house for anyone who wished to purchase organic whole grains and legumes, about 30 different varieties, at my cost, at wholesale, and they got a price list. They could see the cost, it's enormous savings, in case they came upon hard times. They would at least have food to eat. After all, one pound of brown rice will give you about 2.5 pounds cooked. And if anybody knows anything about me, they know that financially I'm ultra-conservative. And when it comes to dealing with people, I'm ultra-liberal and humanitarian, holistic and spiritual. And I take each issue for what it is, and I look at it not from any political or economic paradigm. In other words, there's no playbook by which I go and say, okay, this is the problem, then on page 77, this is how I'm supposed to react. I feel that that limits us. And one of the things I noticed today was no one was prepared for their future. No one. And even when they were working, they never thought what would happen when they were not. As one woman said, right up until the day before she left work, she was still shopping for things she didn't need. Now she's out there collecting plastic out of dumpsters, and it showed her getting $36 for 3 days worth of collecting. And she said, now even $5 means a lot to me. I had about 20 people today who took advantage of my offer to help them, and I do it purely as on a humanitarian level. There's no profit in it. I do it as a public service. And when I think about how many people are my audience, millions, and how many people are looking ahead at what would happen if they lost their job, if they didn't have a social net of friends to help them, what would they do? Well, the likelihood is they'd be just like these people. I know my friends would be absolutely helpless. There's only one of my friends, Marty Feldman, who would ever be smart enough to get ahead of the curve. The rest of my friends are as dumb as bricks when it comes to this. They're actually lazy. They're indifferent. And on some levels, I resent it. I resent it because I'm the person who always has to help people out who chose not to do anything. And it's always bothered me in my own family, in my relatives, in my friends. You know, even now, they're living in my home. Why? Because, well, they're out of work. When they were making money, did they save? No. Did they think about the future? No. Did they do anything at all that showed that they were actually connected to mindful living? And the answer is no. They're still my friends, and I still love them. They're like just to smack the time. Just bam, you sucker. That's what you deserve, you punk ass. But I won't. But I thought about it today, sitting there, and I'm the one who has to go out there and think ahead and look at the storm that's coming and say, time to get off the beach. You know, there's a tsunami coming. Well, Gary, it's still sunny out. Let's roll over on the, you know, on the stomach and get some sun on the back. No, get to high ground. We just have this problem of understanding that we're going into a very dark place. We're in it, but we're in it in stages. If you heard my show recently, I heard me say that the changes in America will not be cataclysmic. You will not see masses of people in the street. But do not for a moment think that because what you don't see, there is no change occurring. For example, you won't see buildings tumbling. You won't see massive riots like in the 60s in Newark and other places. That was mainly fueled by unemployment, poverty, and racial tension and discriminations. Because that's not what people are about today. In the 1960s, yes, you would have seen it. People have become too comfortable, and they've lost the will to fight. And they have lived so long disconnected from movements that they don't even know which movement to belong to anymore. And unfortunately, they're being exploited. Unfortunately, I say really unfortunately, because the vast majority of the Tea Party people are decent people. They're honorable, decent people. Their arguments are legitimate. I've gone to the rallies. I've stood with them. Go up on my website. Look at the pictures of me talking. I'm talking at one time with probably 80% of the people were African Americans, educated, coming from different backgrounds. They were there because they're concerned about how their government is ruling. And yet, if you listen just to the left, they would be demonized. Now, clearly, some people on the left and in the Tea Party and on the right deserve to be challenged because they're radicalized, inhumane, and completely foolish notions. But you don't take everyone and condemn them. If you do, then just like these people on 60 Minutes, you're not going to see them demonstrating, because more often than not, very educated people don't. And people have been very comfortable in their life and very specialized. They don't go out and demonstrate. But when they finally get so fed up and they go to a demonstration, they're going to go to whatever demonstration allows them an opportunity to show that they're disappointed. So an opportunity was lost by the Democrats, at least, to say, let us hear your grievance. Let us see where we can work together and create change that will help you. And they didn't. As a result, Sarah Palin and some of the others have captured that momentum of some of those. But there are over 1,000 different Tea Party movements out there. Many don't want anything to do with Democrats or Republicans. But I was thinking when I was watching this on 60 Minutes tonight, how many of those people will go out and demonstrate or even organize demonstration for the poor or the hungry or for the jobless or for the very jobs that they used to have now being done in China? And how did that happen? How did their job go from where they were at and they held up their hands when they said they expect to be living there till retirement and now they're unemployed? And their whole life is upside down. And as one woman said, and rightly so, nothing will ever be the same. She's 54, and she can't start her life over because now there's people who are 20 years old out there going to do any job, and now she's taking a job as a clerk, and a guy who had a $200,000 salary was now working for $8 an hour in Kmart on just stocking shelves. That's the reality that we're faced with. And yet when you see the city, you see all these buildings. What you didn't see is the buildings are empty. And they showed how many of these giant buildings are empty. So a society like ours decays from the inside while maintaining the exterior. But even in places like South Beach, you will see that there's grass not being cut, weeds overgrown, potholes not fixed. In Coral Gables, they didn't pick up the trash for 8 days. You're going to see that all over. In one town I drove through at night, coming back from the mountains recently, I said, whoa, I'm looking out the window, there's no street lights on. And it was just pitch black. Now, I was driving, I have perfect vision, and I didn't have a problem. But I'm thinking, what about the people who before at night would have gone out for a walk or used the lights as some sense of security, and now they don't have that? Those are the things you're going to start seeing across the country. Now, I have filmed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people for my film on Poverty, Inc., all over the United States. I still have a lot more filming to do. This film isn't probably won't be finished for another 3 months. I'm suggesting that we pay attention to the basics at this point. What I see, and I hope I'm wrong, is I see Geithner lowering the value of the dollar. I see hyperdeflation occurring and accelerating over the next 2 years. Probably from 20 to 50% reduction in home values from now until then, from where we are now. I see massive home foreclosures, repossessions, and lots of industries going broke. You'll have more jobs in the health industry, the pharmaceutical industry, in the energy industry, and in bureaucracies. We don't need the government hiring more people. Those are, for all intents and purposes, non-productive jobs. All you have to do is just see how over-bureaucratized we are in our society. It's corrupt. My suggestion would be simple. Get rid of all non-productive spending by our government. All these research scientists at all these universities who are doing research that doesn't help us at all. You're dealing in hundreds of billions of dollars, and all the subsidies to the major industries, trillions of dollars. But they're not going to do that. That would be the right thing to do. They won't. Moratorium on home foreclosures, they won't do that. Lowering the value of the mortgage to what the value of the market is on a person's home, they won't do that. Allowing people to stay in their homes and just pay rent, they won't do that. Forgiving all late payments and interest, they won't do that. Lowering interest rates to 2%, they won't do that. Giving interest-free loans to small businesses for the first 3 years, they won't do that. De-ghettoizing America by having the insides of all major cities rehabilitate all the buildings there as a living environment, they won't do that. So the answers are simple and doable, but not with the Democrats and Republicans we have in power, because both Democrats and Republicans are pro-war, pro-Wall Street, pro-energy cartels, pro-Big Agra. So they're utterly and completely corrupt. So we should not reform anything. We should transform it. But that's not going to happen now. In the future, yes. In the next 2 to 3 years, yes. But not now. So people who vote Democrat will be making a horrific mistake, because the Democrats have put these people out of jobs. Bill Clinton has put more people out of jobs than any person in American history, including Herbert Hoover. He is, in my opinion, one of the single worst human beings that have ever lived on the planet. And yet the people who suck up to him always got a popularity rating. Yeah, but these are people who are not mindful of history. they are not aware or choose not to be aware of all the acts and deeds that he and his administration and colleagues did, not the least of which was getting rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, which allowed this whole bubble environment to occur to begin with. But that's true of most of your politicians, and it's certainly true of the elite, whether it's the ruling financial elite or the political elite or the social elite. They won't be affected by the downturn and by the downsizing. Now, I give you that as background. And by the way, this week, after I saw this program tonight in 60 Minutes, I'm going to allow until next Sunday night anyone in this audience who wishes to go up to the store and purchase any grains in bulk or legumes and beans in bulk at my wholesale cost. You can't use a credit card because I'm charged up to 5% on the credit card. I don't mind making not a penny. I don't want to lose money. I can't afford to do that. But you can go up at 89th and Broadway. We're open from, well, you can go between 10 in the morning and 10 at night to make your purchases, at least those who are smart enough to realize they should have this. By the way, this past year, just from my stored food, I was able to feed about 3,000 homeless people in Florida alone, what I gave as a gift, because I don't want to see people go hungry. And again, how many of those people didn't think about the future? So I'm a big believer in stocking up. I always keep at least 5,000 to 10,000 pounds of grains in dry, cold places. And it lasts for years and years and years. If you'd use it along the way, fine, you save money. If you don't have to use it and you hold it there, it's that insurance for when stuff gets bad. And will it get bad? Oh, it's going to get bad. It is definitely. Bet your life is going to get bad, either for you or people you know. And then what are you going to do if you're not prepared? Someone comes to you and says, I need some help right now. Anything you can do, you can help. And you say, I don't have any extra cash. I can't help you. At least you can help them with food. So number one, I would stock up on some grains, if I were you, and beans and legumes, stuff that will not go bad, that if you run into any hard time, at least your family and friends will at least be able to have food, because right now, a lot of people have no food in America. We're talking about 50 million. Did you hear what I just said? 50 million Americans are hungry each day. Now, where to put money? Well, do not put it in banks at all, because the first of all, it's supporting the banks, unless it's a little savings loan or a credit union, that's fine. I believe that gold is going to go up to about $1,500 before the depression sets in. Then when the dollar comes down, it's going to go up much higher. Not because you trade or use gold as a functional currency. It is your reserve, and silver as well. But I would only put about 10% in that. I would look to the future and say, if the currencies, and it's the currency that you have to be aware of. Now, no one can predict absolutely, but I would suggest that based upon the BRIC nations mean Brazil, a booming economy at 10% because they have oil, Russia, India, and China. They no longer want the dollar to be the currency of reserve. They're going to be making every effort to get their currencies in a mixed currency as the currency of choice. So I would look to divest into some of the mixed currencies and the Canadian dollar, and because I do not see the American dollar sustaining its position, and I see a hyperdeflation. I would eliminate any assets that are encumbered by mortgages and get out now. People don't get out are not going to be able to get out. And then everything you don't need, get rid of. Sell it. All the things that were toys for grown-up boys and all the extras, and go on an austerity program. Now, it's hard for someone who's got $250,000 today to think, well, you know, we're okay. I got a job. But you can't look at today. You have to look at 2 years down the road when we have America, 70% of America will be India and Calcutta, and 30% will be Paris. So for the 8 million millionaires and for the 1,200 billionaires and for the probably 30 million Americans who are in the upper middle class and have stable homes, no mortgages, they'll be fine. But for everyone else, including the working middle class and the they're going to have a really rough time. The middle class, the working class, and the poor class are going to get hammered. At some point, you will see problems, you will see conflict, but the administrations that will be in place will probably be behind it and instigating it, and they're masters of setting up phony conflicts so that they can take charge. I would look at being in a more rural environment. I would say if there's anything people should be investing in, it is quality land where there's a farm, where from that farm that one can purchase inexpensively, that has quality water and water that is tested and has an unlimited capacity and is within 2 hours of a major market. And then build yourself a lodge, a nice lodge that could hold maybe three or four, you know, families that charge rent. So they pay the rent and have a quality of life. You have an income flow, and you have an asset that is paid for. I would not invest in anything else. I would not invest in stocks or bonds. I believe that a lot of bonds are going to get hammered because I believe some states and cities, states can't go bankrupt, cities can, and I see that the bonds that have been held by the cities and states, many of those will be non-performing. They'll default on them. I see that many of the large pensions will lose a substantial amount of their interest, and America will be principally a service-oriented nation, but not a manufacturing nation. I see doing home-based businesses where you can originate products and services that are unique and that you can control the costs and make a profit. I see that as the future. I don't see any industry, unless you're in the banking or Wall Street or one of the people, and they're probably in the neighborhood of about 6 million people in stable industries that will not get worse but only better, or a government worker who can do anything and not be fired, and that's unfortunate, or the unions that have allowed. In fact, I was really, when I looked at the numbers, where did the stimulus money go, I found out that over $350 billion, over one third of the entire stimulus, went to the states, but not for helping the states, but helping preserve the jobs of the state workers based upon how the state workers' union had kept their jobs and their contracts and their benefits in place, instead of really reducing the debt, reducing property taxes, putting money into social services and services that really benefited the people in a state. None of that was done. It was just all massive manipulation. In fact, the largest amount of money in this current campaign is from the employees' unions and not just the Chamber of Commerce. People are just not taking the time or care for the scholarship or the analysis to see how we are simply being manipulated at every turn. So since we're not going to be helped by our government, and the media will not be honest, and the left as well as the right is completely biased, like Keith Olbermann is the perfect Democrat, but he doesn't have one whiff of progressive or independent thought in him. He actually had the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, on, and never once questioned her on her positions about why are you not going after the stopping a rendition? Why are you not going after the stopping companies from outsourcing jobs? Why are you not demanding the president and the control you have over the Congress put a moratorium on house foreclosure? Nothing did he ask her. He allowed her an opportunity just to promote the Democrat agenda of look how much good they've done. And I would love to be in that debate, but there was no debate. And that's unfortunate. Just as much as they do on the right, they do on the left. So don't expect their left or their right to help you, because they're both corporate and sold out. So downsize, become austere, save your money. And since the value of the currency will diminish, put it into an asset that you can make money from, as long as you don't have to service a debt. It is the debt service that cripples you. So when I buy land, which I will be doing, I will buy land and I'll pay for it. And if I have to sit on it for a year or two, or do I have the money to build what I intend, I'm going to be building an artisan's village, because I have a great love and compassion in my heart for artists, because they are the unsung heroes of our society, and they are not subsidized, they're not helped. And I believe that they could do a lot. But anyhow, I'm going to be doing a lot of different things. But if it takes a little time, that's fine, because the further in the future we go, the worse it's going to get. That also means if you have cash, you will be able to have better bargaining. Let me give you an example. Your $350,000 or $325,000 today, as a purchase of asset, let's say you have a farm today that is $500,000, in 3 years it'll be $200,000. So if you have the capacity to buy something that you don't have debt on, and you can convert that into an income-producing property, that's what I would do. That would be the future. Because what you see now is all going to change. Everything for the average person is going to change. Nothing will change for the rich and powerful. Nothing will change for those who are, in effect, in positions of security and safety. And I don't criticize people who have been able to save and not create debt. Good for them. But they're not the average person. The average person has been on a spending spree like a coke addict that Al Pacino just before the end of the movie in Scarface, where he buries his face in 5 pounds of coke. That's what the average American's been up to when it comes just to spending, mindless escapism, and making their lives virtually irrelevant and trivializing everything for the commodities to which they own. Can't do that anymore. Now they have to make their lives mean something. Does that answer your question?
It sure does. Thanks, Gary.
All the best to you. Okay.
All right.
Now let's say hello to Ray in South Carolina. Hi, Ray.
Yes. Yes, Gary. Let me turn my radio down here.
All right.
I've been listening to your show for a while here. I'm a 43-year-old African-American. I think I stumbled up on your show about maybe 5 or 6 months ago. But anyway, everything that you're pretty much saying is very true. Since I stumbled up on your show, I think I've lost about 30 pounds. I don't drink, don't smoke, don't do any drugs, never did any of that. So I was always in fairly decent health. But I think my eating habits, because I do a job that consistently have me out on the road. So now what I do is I bring like raw vegetables and stuff of that nature on the road with me. And I had a question for you about water. And, you know, I live here in South Carolina. I don't hear you ever say anything too much about South Carolina, probably for obvious reasons. But so far as water, I was thinking about getting a well. I have a little over 1.5 acres of land, and I was wondering what your thoughts was on that. And I also have a 16-month-old and a 10-year-old, and I was wondering what you advise me, or what can you recommend me to give them for the upcoming flu season?
Well, vitamin D is one of the single best nutrients. It will do as much, if not more, to help prevent the flu than does a flu vaccine without any of the danger. I would also use such things as vitamin C. And how old are your children?
16 months and 10 years old.
Oh, at 10 years old, you could give your child, let's say, 300 milligrams three times a day, or 1,000 milligrams. Now, your 16-month-old, you could give about 100 milligrams. And also make sure you give them fresh juices each day. The juices that will help protect their system would be tomato juice. If you made a fresh apple, celery, cucumber, and grape, that would be tremendous in helping build their immune system and protect them. Also, make sure that you're just doing basic things. For example, wiping down the surface areas that people touch a lot in your house, doorknobs, refrigerator knobs, and always have a glass of hydrogen peroxide to put the toothbrushes in, because how most people pass an infection in a house is they keep reinfecting themselves off their toothbrush, because it goes in the mouth, picks up the germs, and they reinfect themselves every time they use that toothbrush. And wipe the tops of wipe the mouthpieces on telephones, because every time you talk into a telephone, if you have any cold or flu, your beads of water are going to go onto that mic where you talk and then bounce back into your mouth. You get a rebound infection. And then see that they have lots of blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, and cherries. And those are your anti-flu foods. All right. Now, as to your acre and a half, is enough for you to put up a good greenhouse and start growing microgreens and sprouts, the two most nutritionally rich foods you could grow. And that it's fun to grow, and sprouts you can grow in anywhere from 3 to 9 days. And your most nutritious sprouts would be your broccoli sprouts. That would be good every day to have. And your sunflower seed sprouts. But you also have 28 other things you can sprout. Now, for microgreens, a microgreen generally takes anywhere from 15 to 30 days to grow. But it is loaded with nutrition and great taste, and there are at least 40 different things to become microgreens. And again, you could have this. You could also grow your own wheatgrass, and you could grow wheatgrass without any soil. And then each day you could give your family members a little spike of wheatgrass in their juice, and that super enriches their blood with immune stimulants because of the chlorophyll. So a little greenhouse that you could put up, which wouldn't cost much. And as far as the well, first and foremost, check to see what your water table is. How deep down would a well be? And then have the water checked to make sure that it has none of the bacteria, and that it has a good balance of minerals, that it's not excessive in any mineral that could imbalance your body's chemistry. Once you get the water analysis, and that's even in some universities free if you go to a land-based university, and you have them in South Carolina, and then put a well in. A well will run you about $2,500. That's done. So you actually have a faucet you can turn on. That's going to save you on your water, but it also gives you a constant source of fresh water. So those are the things I would do if I were you, all right?
All right, and like I said, you're doing a really good job. I lost like 30 pounds, and this was in like 5 months. So everything you're saying is pretty much true. And right now I'm taking Supremacy and Super Muscle. I take several of your products, but those are like my two favorites.
Good for you. Well, everything you take in the body that is a concentrated phytonutrient and a concentrated antioxidant helps protect the cell, and that's the key to keeping healthy throughout a winter. Because when you come in contact, and you will be coming, we all come in contact with different bacteria and viruses, we don't get sick because our body's immune system is strong enough to kill them without allowing them to take hold. And make sure that you're getting good non-dairy probiotics in your family each day.
All right.
And if you're taking the Super Muscle, you're getting that.
Well, I take the Super Muscle in a day. In fact, I mix the Super Muscle in with a fruit smoothie that I make every morning before I go to work.
Good. Then give some of that to your children. They
can't resist it. It's almost my 16-month-old will actually go get the blender, and she gives it to them whenever she wants me to make one.
Great.
So they can't resist it.
Where do you live in South Carolina?
Blackwood.
I'm not familiar with that. What town's it near?
That's outside of Columbia, the capital.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's next door. It actually is part of Columbia.
All right.
But I don't hear you ever say too much about South Carolina. Probably because of the obvious publicity that we get in the state itself. But I'm just pretty much trying to, like you said, prepare for whatever.
Well, prepare
comes our way and stay ahead of the curve.
That's right. Stay ahead. A lot of people are indifferent and arrogant and foppish, and they don't want to look at what's coming at them.
Well, you know, I'm actually a union employee myself, not state of government, but I am a union employee, and I am trying to stay ahead of the curve. I'm planning every day.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, it's nice to speak with you, and Ray, and we look forward to hearing how well you're going to do in the future. When you get the well in, you get your greenhouse, and you're really doing good, and then start a home-based business from there to sell the sprouts elsewhere. All right? All the best to you.
Thank you.
Let's go out and say hello to Kevin from California. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Gary. How are you?
Good.
I have two very short questions. Is that okay?
Sure.
Gary, I'm looking at your CBDs, and I see three capsules of that would give me 255 milligrams of kelp. Now, I wanted to see if that gives, supplies enough iodine.
Yeah, that gives you a lot of iodine.
Okay, great. And also, you talked about juices, you know, like grape juice and cranberry juice. And I tell people to take those, but they always ask me, so if they've been pasteurized and they've gone through a lot of heat, so what is being lost and what is not being lost?
The antioxidants are lost, the phytonutrients are not. And it's the phytonutrients from those juices that you want most.
I see. So, for example, what is it, the stuff in the wine, the red wine?
Resveratrol.
Yes, resveratrol. That's not being lost then?
No. Resveratrol is still there.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Gary.
All the best to you, Kenny. Okay. And let's say hello to Devin from Utah. Hi, Devin.
I'm looking at your CBD and I see three capsules of that.
Devin, turn off your radio, please. We'll come back to Devin. Devin, we'll try to reach you in a moment. Please disconnect and just listen to us. Let's say hello to Kenny from New Jersey. Hi, Kenny.
Hi, Gary. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
Excellent. It was good to see you on Tuesday at the health support, the beginning of that. I have two questions, if I may.
Sure.
One, I really want to verify that I'm understanding this right now. My wife and I have a mortgage. That's the only debt that we have. Is it better to, instead of put money into savings, put money into paying down the mortgage?
I would never pay down a mortgage.
Okay.
That's insane.
Okay.
Absolutely the last thing I would do is pay down a mortgage.
So the best thing to do is to save money and just pay the mortgage as you have it set up.
That's correct.
Okay, now my next question is, my wife has a 403B retirement account with AXA Equitable. Now, we've just recently heeded your advice and we opened up, we invested in gold recently. We put $5,000 into that to start with. Now, my wife still has this 403B account. She said there's about $10,000 in there. And I said, well, what if we took that money and put that into gold or made that liquid, you know, like you were saying, try and be as liquid as possible?
It depends upon what the penalty is. It's in the
25%, I think, because you have to...
I wouldn't put it in gold because you won't make back that 25% in gold.
Okay.
And I would leave it there as long as you are not stressed for cash flow to pay your existing bills. The key is to get out of mortgages and to rent. I'm trying to tell people, if you have a house, like my house is debt-free, I don't own a mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've made accommodations now so that I could accommodate up to 20 friends in quality of life if they ever need to be there, and I'll bet at least 20 people I know will be there in the next 2 years. We don't know what happened, Gary. We don't know what happened. Yeah, Jesus. I'm going to have dinner tomorrow night with three of them. And no matter what I say, they'll look at me like, what language is Gary talking? But anyhow, so the key is a mortgage. Let me put it this way. If I had a mortgage today, if I didn't have at least 100% value above in the value of my home above my mortgage, I would get out of that mortgage because I see everywhere I go in America, I see the value of mortgages crumbling. Even one of my buddies, in fact, one of the buddies I'm going to have dinner with tomorrow, he has three mortgages in Malibu. And he said all along, oh, Malibu, you know, I'm right next door to Mel Gibson. Britney Spears, this doesn't matter. I said, when it comes to the market taking a hit, you will take a hit there. And he did. Now his mortgages are underwater, big ones. So if you got too big a mortgage, get out. If you don't, and if your mortgage is relatively small, if at the end of the day, after all your expenses, tax, insurance, leasehold improvements, mortgage costs, if you are at 30%, fine. If you're above that, then all you're doing is paying to stay in that, paying the bank to stay in that place. And if you can't get the interest down to 3%, then I would find another place. All right?
Well, thank you for that answer.
All the best to you. I got to go. We're out of time. Alex from Orlando, sorry I didn't get to you. And Devin from Utah tried, but we'll get to you next week. Tomorrow, very interesting program coming up. Very, very interesting. You won't want to miss it at either the noon or 3 o'clock show. And I have a lot going on this week. I'll be bringing up to date tomorrow. But now, we've got coming to you Micah Rupert on the program here. So please stay tuned and hear what he has to say. He's got a lot of good insight. I'm Gary Nolan. Have a nice evening.